Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Welcome. After the half hour, we'll be taking phone calls. The number is 646-716-9663. And I am very pleased tonight to have with me Steve Bierman. Am I pronouncing your last name correctly?
You're almost there. It's Bierman, like Smokey the Bear.
Okay, Bierman. And also you're known as Swami Beyondanandananda. Or did I get one more anda in there than I should?
You added one more duh, but that's okay. It's free.
Steve, how did you get started? Was the spirituality first or was the humor first? How did this whole thing get started with you?
Well, you know, first of all, I was very fortunate enough to grow up in Brooklyn, New York, where everybody has a sense of humor. We had humor was part of my life growing up, part of my family. I was the class comedian, you know, when I was, and the way that you know that God has picked you for that, it's the first time that you're in the lunchroom and you make another kid laugh so hard that milk comes out of their nose. And so when that happened, I knew what my calling was going to be. And I had a couple of diverse careers. I was a teacher. I started an alternative high school. I taught at the university level at Wayne State University. And a funny thing happened. And often when a funny thing happens, and it's not that funny. Sometimes it's a challenging thing. And I got laid off from my job because they had to place their tenured professors. And the only job I could find was working for the city of Ann Arbor, Michigan, taking down trees that had Dutch elm disease. And while I was at this job, my life changed because I got hooked up with another worker and we started a humorous newspaper for the guys at the shop. And very quickly, I realized that humor has amazing powers to bring playfulness, to change people's hearts and minds, to bring new ideas in under the radar. And so that led to a paper that we started there, which eventually led to a paper called Pathways, which I started in 1980, and that was one of the first holistic local publications in the country. And that's where we launched Swami Beyondananda. Now, having said that, I think that prior to that, I guess I've had two yogis in my life. First, of course, was Yogi Berra. Growing up in New York, you had Yogi Berra. He was a catcher for the Yankees. And then it was Yogi Bhajan. The first yoga I did was Kundalini yoga, breathing, heavy breathing exercise yoga. So even though I wasn't necessarily a spiritual person, I gradually became acquainted with some of these approaches and techniques, primarily around yoga and meditation. Later around the metaphysics, my wife Trudy is an astrologer. She's a gemstone healer, et cetera, et cetera. So gradually over the past 20-something years, I've become much more familiar with spirituality, and the combination of humor and spirituality is really interesting because comedy is a way of reminding us that we're bigger than our ego or bigger than our life situations. And when it's done with an open heart, it brings people closer together. It's a great spiritual practice. So having the Swami as my companion here, I've learned a lot over the years as I've performed and written with the Swami.
And what is your website? Where can we read more about you?
My website is wakeuplaughing.com, wakeuplaughing.com. I'm also on Twitter as Swami B-E, S-W-A-M-I-B-E. And on Facebook, you can Google, you can look up Swami Dhyanandananda on Facebook. I'm there as well. And in Wake Up Laughing, I'm really doing two things. First, of course, I'm presenting my performances and writings as a Swami. At the same time, I'm also helping other people access their sense of humor and use it to transform their lives. So that's what Wake Up Laughing is about. It's about laughter and comedy and humor and joy as tools for awakening.
You know, in my many, many seminars over the last five decades that I've been teaching, I've learned that laughter is a great healer and laughter is an amazing integrator. If we have a heavy piece of spiritual material and then we all end up laughing, that it seems to anchor that information into people. And I don't know what to say about healing and laughter. There's so much to say about it. Maybe you could say it.
Okay, well, what you said is absolutely correct. You know, there's a reason why successful speakers and presenters use humor at various times in their presentation, because having that break disrupts the normal pathways of the mind. See, laughter, comedy, is something that puts together ideas that don't normally belong together. And when we laugh, we're laughing at the surprise, we're laughing at the delight, we're laughing at integrating information in a new way. So there's often an aha in the wake of the ha-ha, and then there's an ah when we leave the dueling duality of the head and we find ourselves basking in the unity of the heart. That's where laughter puts us. So when people have difficult things to process, to integrate, Swami calls it residudu. When you have these things to integrate, process, then when there is humor, it first of all, laughing causes breathing. And what happens is more oxygen goes to the brain. And it takes us out of this fight or flight aspect of fear and narrowness of perspective. And it broadens our perspective, we become more creative. And we're able to see, you know, levity is an interesting word. Levity, levitation. When we laugh wholeheartedly, it allows us to rise to a higher perspective so that we can see the condition that we've been dealing with from a much, much broader, deeper way. And, you know, laughter takes us out of our head, puts us in our heart, and creates space for something new to happen.
I think laughter is amazing, and I've seen people's auras change when they laugh. Whatever is dark or gray or muddied, no matter where it is in the body, it becomes lighter and brighter. And just like when people lie, their aura dims, and it takes more energy for you to lie. And when there's laughter, whoever you are brightens up. So for me, that being able to see so much, that always impressed me.
That's true. When you talk about how much energy it takes to hold a lie, I mean, you're trying to hold something together. It's like, you know, human beings have stories, and some of these stories take a lot of energy to hold together. And when you release the story, here's an example. It's a story I often tell when I'm doing my Sunday morning talks at churches. And it's about what I call, it's about the shadow. So about 100 years ago, a little town in West Texas, the local madam comes to the minister and she says, "Reverend, I want to make amends for my life. I want to donate everything I have to your church." And he says, "Well, ma'am, I need to think about this. Come back tomorrow." And she came back the next day, and he said, "I'm sorry, ma'am, I cannot accept your offer." And she left. And one of the townspeople who'd been listening said, "Reverend, we need a new building. Why did you turn down her generous offer?" And the minister said, "Because her money is tainted money." And the guy said, "What do you mean her money? It's our money." So, again, it's like using humor to actually bust some of these trances and conditions that we have, the little hypocritical perpetrations that, you know, human beings tend to play with, and all of a sudden one little joke can break the tension and reveal something, and that's why it's so magical.
And I think that as a spiritual teacher, as a master healer, that laughing is very important. There's nothing I hate worse than going to a workshop and being there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and everyone is so serious. You know what I mean? It almost puts me to sleep. I have to laugh. I have to be awake. You know, it's very important to my being, and also to whoever's teaching, you know, whether it's kindergarten or, you know, a residency in medical school, you have to laugh. Or
exactly.
How deep does it get? I mean, it seems like it's so serious that it covers you. And then maybe you're covered in spiritual, what did you call it, doo-doo?
Residue and doo-doo. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. There was a study done at Rush Presbyterian Medical Hospital in Chicago. And what they found in this study was that the emergency room workers, the intensive care workers, the people that dealt with trauma, those who were not able to use what they call graveyard humor, you know, which is stuff that would embarrass you and me, but people who see blood and gore all the time, they have to release that energy in some way. They have to release the tension. You know, so if they work in the intensive care unit, they might say, if somebody dies, they might say, well, he's been transferred to eternal care. They'll make jokes about it because the only way they can survive is by doing that. And the ones who could not do that were the ones who burned out and couldn't do those jobs. So having humor allows you to process the material of life in such a way that you're then there and present to receive whatever is next. And these people who are, you know, the firefighters, the police, the emergency room workers, people who work in the burn unit, these people, no matter what their feelings are, no matter how, you know, what they're seeing in front of them, they have to be present fully. And humor and being able to laugh, even if you and I would be horrified at what they're laughing at, humor is a way for them to release the old and be ready for the new.
And a great coping mechanism. Where can we read more about you?
Well, let's see. You can find me on wakeuplaughing.com. That's probably the best way. You can send me an email, info@wakeuplaughing.com. I'm also on LinkedIn. You can find me that way. Steve Behrman is spelled Behrman. Interestingly, on the more serious side, I also have a book that I've written with Bruce Lipton, the cellular biologist, and that book is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. You know, that's a whole other subject, but I've been interested in transformation from the individual to the community to the nation to the world to the universe, and fortunately I've had humor with me and Swami at my side, so that when things are frustrating or challenging,
to get the Swami to show up for 10-15 minutes here.
Oh well, let's see. Other than he happens to be very patiently hovering. You know, the Swami, since he levitates when you say we're on the air, Swami is always on the air. So,
well, I'd love to have the Swami on the show, Steve.
Okay,
can you manifest him?
I can manifest him because he's a man. If he was a woman, I'd have the woman manifest him. But hold on. Let me get him. Hold on. He's going to be here in a minute. Well, hello. How are you? I'm so impressed to be with a real star.
Thank you.
And you're such a big star, you actually have to have two R's. That means you're a bigger star. I don't know any stars with three R's, but two R's, you're ahead of the game. So it's wonderful. Do you have anything that you want to ask me? Because if you have an answerable question, I promise I will have a questionable answer for you.
Dear Swami, I heard that you were cabling because all the channels were taken. Is that true?
Oh, listen, everybody is channeling these days because, let's face it, people in bodies have more fun, right? So you want to get into a body. And, yes, everything I'm telling you today is actually channeled. So if you don't like it, it is not my fault.
That's great. What can you tell me about spirituality, Swami?
Well, you know what? We are all one with the same one, the universal oneness. The universe has us surrounded. Might as well surrender. And if we are, you know, I call it, you know, have you ever been so frustrated that you didn't know what to do? Okay, now, have you ever, in a way, done something, go, oh, my God, I did it. I did something. It was such a terrible mistake. I don't know what to do with myself. Well, you know, in Japan. Yeah, okay. In Japan, what do? They commit harikari. In my fundamentalism with the accent on fun, we commit hokey pokey.
Ooh.
We turn ourselves around, and by the time we turn around, we're smiling, and that's what it's all about.
Wow. I think, Swami, you are wonderful. What do you have to say about growing older? Younger? Nothing? Hello? Are we having technical difficulties?
Yeah, Steve has dropped off. Let me go find him. Hold on.
All righty. Well, Swami's pretty funny, and Steve does a real good job with him. And Swami is available to do a talk for you. If you look at his website, wakeuplaughing.com, you find that you can hire him for a party. For you can hire the Swami to do your Sunday service for you. And if you go to wakeuplaughing.com, you can see that he has a couple of books and many, many products. And what impresses me the most about the Swami.
Hello.
Hi.
Where did I go? I must have disappeared. I must have gone to the other side of the universe, but I'm back now.
The question was, what do you think about aging, people growing older?
Well, you know what? I have the ultimate solution to aging. How many people out there would like to be absolutely young again?
Everybody.
Would you like to be young again?
Yes.
Okay, well, the secret to being young again, reincarnation.
Okay, tell me about reincarnation.
Well, do you believe in reincarnation?
Yes.
Well, it's great to be with you again, then. No, I believe in reincarnation. I'm what they call a reborn-again Krishna. Yes?
A reborn-again Krishna?
Krishna. A reborn-again Krishna.
Yes. Good for you.
Yes, and you know, actually, you and I have had very significant lifetimes together. Are you aware of this?
No, I'm not. Could you tell me what we were together?
We sat at the feet of the Buddha. And you know how you like to do interviewing? Every time the Buddha would sit to meditate, you would interrupt him with a question. And you know what? They ended up naming a city after you. Budapest.
Which one?
Budapest. Yeah, Budapest. Yeah.
Oh, no. Again, in another lifetime, another city named after me.
Another? Oh, yes, yes. There you go.
And Swami, what do you have to say about living in our times?
Well, living in our times certainly beats the alternative. These are times of great change. You know, it has been predicted that a great shift would be taking place, and many people are asking, why is this shift happening to me? Well, you know, shift happens. And during these times of great change, people are consulting, as you very well know, they're consulting the mystics on the planet. Now, there are two kinds of mystics. There are the optimistics and the pessimistics. And you see, the pessimistics, they think that they're more in touch with reality, but the optimistics are happier and live longer. See, the pessimistics are telling us, the sky is falling, the sky is falling. The optimistics say, no, it only looks that way because we are ascending.
Wow, that's really a good thought to carry with me. What are some of the favorite things that the Swami likes to talk about?
Well, I will talk about anything, you know, because let's face it, everything, we are in the material world to get more material. And that is why I am, my religious path is fundamentalism with the accent on the fun. Now, you see, the fundamentalists who have accent on the mental, they say heaven is above us. But we fundamentalists say heaven is where we make it. So why don't we go for heaven on earth just for the hell of it?
And what do you think about sex, Swami?
What do I think about sex? Well, I have to tell you something. I was celibate for 14 years.
When I turned
15, I said, enough of that.
Oh, dear, that's very, very good. What do you have to say now that there's 500,000-600,000 books published in the United States a year instead of 10,000 like back in 1950? What do you have to say about all these books coming out?
Well, you know, compared to 1950, you know, I think one of the biggest issues we have on this planet today, extraterrestrials. We have way too many terrestrials. We don't need the extra. Because compared to 50 years ago, we have twice the population. And so obviously these people are going to need to read more books. More people are producing books. It's easier to produce books and so on. Now, if only people actually read some of these books. I have no time to read anymore. I just put them in a blender and drink them. That's all. I absorb it through osmosis, or the wisdom of the cosmos through cosmosis.
I think that's good. What do you say about the third eye?
Oh, listen, I've actually had somebody poke me in my third eye. Yes. Yes, I'm telling you, it's very painful. But you know what? I think that this is really where this the key for seeing beyond is. This is for seeing through all of the illusions, seeing behind the veils, and seeing to the real truth, the heart of the matter. And I have to tell you something. When you look with the third eye, and you look at what is the heart of the matter, it's very simple. The heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Because in the head, we have these beliefs that keep us separate. We have dueling dualities. And what people believe is unbelievable. No wonder there's so much static. So we need to leave the static of the head for the ecstatic of the heart. Because the more we expand our hearts, the less we will need to shrink our heads.
I agree. What do you say about the New Age?
Well, I think New Age is kind of old age by now. But I think what is really happening is that there is an awakening. I call it an evolutionary uprising, where people are waking up and wising up to the power of love and connection. You know, every moment, this is true, every moment we have our choice. Do we feed love? Or do we feed fear? And the good news is love is more powerful than fear. Otherwise, we'd be singing, all you need is fear, right?
Correct.
We're not singing that. That's good. That's very good. So
I think that is powerful. What do you think about TV?
Well, I think that I have to be very blunt here, that in many, many ways, the mainstream media is a brainwashing machine stuck on spin. And so if you don't like the current programming, turn off your TV and tell a vision instead. That is where I tell a vision to you, you tell a vision to me, and we have healing and functional visions to step into, and that beats what we've been stepping into.
And then once we all have visions, we can television to each other.
That's the idea. That is the idea. Do you have a vision that you'd like to tell?
Yeah, I don't know. The only channel I watch is the Comedy Channel, and sometimes I think God's watching that channel. What do you say about that?
What channel are you watching?
The Comedy Channel.
Oh, that's exactly right. Well, of course, as a fundamentalist, I say the Creator is watching the Comedy Channel. We are what's on. So our job in life is to learn how to laugh with the Creator at ourselves. We call it self-facing laughter. And when Steve talks to you more about this Wake Up Laughing tutorial that he's doing, this is really helping people to lovingly laugh in their own face. Because if you can laugh in the face of your ego, you can laugh in the face of any challenge that you have.
What do you know about stress, Swami?
Stress? I'll tell you what I know about stress. Stress is very, very stressful. I cannot stress how stressful stress can be. And the way that we want to release stress is very simple. The simple way to release stress is by finding something to laugh about or smile. If we smile, we turn the corners of our mouth upward in a smile. We call this the levitational pull that pulls the corners of our mouth upward. When we do that, we actually change our body chemistry. Now, maybe you've heard the story about Norman Cousins. He was a writer about 45 years ago, diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. And when he checked into, instead of checking into a hospital, he checked into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and Candid Camera reruns, and he got well. And when he cured himself, the medical establishment decided they are going to study the healing power of laughter, which is kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? And, you know, when they studied laughter, they found that when we laugh, it creates these hormones called endorphins, our natural painkillers. So just by smiling and laughing, just by doing that, we change our body chemistry. We improve our immune function, and we lower our blood pressure. Because laughing causes our blood vessels to dilate, and that is certainly better than having them die early.
And one last question before we come up to the half-hour commercial. Talk to me about enlightenment.
Well, you know what? Enlightenment can strike at any time. And, you know, you cannot tell necessarily from the externals whether someone is enlightened on the inside. It's like that old saying, before enlightenment, do the laundry. After enlightenment, do the laundry. But it's 40% brighter.
Thank you very much. And we're coming up on the commercial break.
Okay. You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
We will be taking calls. The phone number is 646-716-9663, Swami Biyandananda and Star. All right, Swami, is there anything else you'd like to share with my listeners out there?
Oh, I hear something on the line. Oh, that might be me. I have an echo here. I would like to share that the most valuable thing that we can do for ourselves, for our internal nourishment, is to find some things to laugh wholeheartedly about. It may seem like something very, very simple, but this is the gift that we've been given to process the material of the material world and to change things. Even if we cannot change the externals out there, we can change how we feel, how we look. And I call this new perspective cosmic comic consciousness. And there are really four practices. One practice is a mantra. And the mantra is, it's a joke, laugh. Whatever it is, it's a joke, laugh. And if you're able to do that, then you become bigger than whatever that condition is. The second thing is what I call self-facing laughter. Laugh at yourself and the whole world will laugh at you too. The third thing is find the joke hidden in the picture. In every condition and situation, if you're able to find the contradiction, a little thing that makes you laugh, that brings forth an entire blessing of light. And in that lightness, you can shine the light of laughter on the undarkened parts of your life. And then finally, commit random acts of comedy. Help other people laugh too. Bring the world, brighten up the world through helping other people laugh and smile. And it has a ripple effect. It's like loaves and fishes. One person can enter a room with a joke and 300 people leave with it and nobody is diminished and everybody is enhanced.
Well, thank you, Swami Beyondananda. And Mark, do we have any phone calls there?
No, we're quiet tonight.
All right, we're quiet. We can find something about
Beyondananda
at wakeuplaughing.com.
Yes.
What would you like to talk about, Swami?
Well, I'd say, you know, when people don't call in, we should just randomly call out. That's what I would do. I would just dial a phone number and see who's there. No, we may not do that. But I would have to say, if you have any other questions for me, it could be about anything. Ask me if I'm psychic.
646-716-9663. You know, maybe we are so psychic, Swami, that the people are getting the answers before they even have to dial the phone. What do you think
That's
about
it?
That one?
Well, you know, I think it is true that everybody already has all of the answers within. It's matching them with the corresponding questions that is the challenge. So
I beg your pardon?
If you have a question, I have an answer.
Yeah, the questions. What do you think about ego, Swami?
Well, you know what? We all need the ego. That is something that helps us navigate the physical reality. But if you find that you're being too much run by your ego, I have developed a simple 3-word mantra to help you release your ego just like that. Ready? Goes like this. Ego, egoing, egon. That's all. Like that.
One more time.
Ego, ego, egoing, egon.
Wow, that's very powerful. I think I'll take that up for the next 10 years. I think a decade of that mantra will definitely change my life. And if you're out there and have a question for us or for the Swami or even for me, 646-716-9663. And I know from all the shows before that you called in with serious, serious, serious questions. It's okay if you call in with a lighthearted question tonight.
Well, they can call in with serious questions, and I'll give them a funny answer. Either way. Or we can put Steve back on the line, and he'll give them a good talking to.
Well, you know, I think we'll just take a minute and breathe. And everybody who's out there listening and saying, oh, my question is too serious for this. Well, maybe. Maybe if you laugh at it, you can heal. And if it's real serious, I'll have a nice answer for you, and Swami will give you some laughter to integrate it. And since they don't seem to be calling in, I think we need to talk about... Got one?
Yeah. Hold on.
Good.
We'll bring Mary on. Mary, you're on.
Okay. Thank you. Actually, I was calling regarding a home situation that's kind of chaotic right now. I was hoping to make a move. There's some very unpleasant things going on, and I don't think this is probably the safest place for me. for me to stay here. And I'm wondering if you see me moving before anytime soon or things turning around.
I'm going to tell you the truth. You do not need to be there, and you will be out by the 4th of July. Unfortunately, you should be out by the 4th of June, but you will be protected and safe, and you will come out of that living environment the 4th of July. Swami, what you got to say to Mary?
Well, you know what? I think that you are being watched over in a good way, not just a bad way. And, you know, actually, I cannot make any predictions because I don't want to jeopardize my nonprofit status.
Thank you, Mary. Is there anything else?
Do you see my health situation getting better, too?
Are you doing what you know to do to keep your health better?
I'm working on all angles, yes. I'm trying.
And you're taking supplements and doing everything
yes.
you're supposed to do?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and what happened to walking?
I don't do it as often as I used to because of the heat and the condition I have, but I try to park further away these days from the store and try to squeeze in a little more movement inside when I can.
And I need you to walk 2 to 3 times more than you're walking, and you are processing the right things. You are having the appropriate nutrition, except when you forget.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, yes, this will lighten up, and we'll see a better health perspective for you around September. Swami, what do you have to say to her?
Well, I think that walking is really good. And you know what? Something that you an exercise that you can do in place is laughing. It's internal.
Yeah.
It's internal.
Right.
Ha, 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 ha. Just like that. Make it just even if you don't feel like laughing, ha, 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 ha. You just keep doing that. And at some point, you'll actually burst out laughing. What this does is it causes breathing, and breathing is the key to long life. Did you know that?
Yes, that makes sense.
You want to live for a long time, just keep breathing. That's what we'll do.
Just keep breathing, right?
Yeah.
Keep breathing, darling. Thank you, Mary.
Thank you very much. Okay, a lot of good laughs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, Mary. All righty, that's it for now.
All right. Swami, have you heard of laughter yoga?
Oh, absolutely. That is laughing for no reason. And to me, laughing for no reason is a good enough reason to laugh.
And
it's
we can find Swami at wakeuplaughing.com. Now, Swami, is it true that I could hire you and you could come and speak at my church?
I travel all over the place. I do all kinds of programs. I do a Wake Up Laughing Weekend. We do comedy performances. I answer questions. You question answers. This right now, next week, we're actually on the West Coast. So next weekend, not this coming weekend, but the last weekend, we're up in Redding, California. Next month, we're in Mendocino. Then we're up at the Oregon Country Fair in Eugene. And then in the fall, we have openings on our tour. We're going to be in the Southwest, so we'll be in Fort Worth, Texas, and Austin, Texas, and we will be in Las Cruces, New Mexico, and Santa Fe. And then in November, we're going to be in Hawaii, which to me is the most healing place in the world. Because if you think the laying on of hands is healing, you should try the handing on of lays. That is more healing.
Oh, I hear that you do great stuff in Maui. I have many of my students are there, and that is wonderful. You can also be hired to do, like, for example, if I was doing a big presentation, you could be my warm-up act, right?
I warm up the audience. In fact, they take their clothes off. That's how warm they are. And I do that, and also what happens is my cohort, Steve Behrman, also teaches people how to bring more humor into their lives. We do it online. We have a couple of online courses. If you send me an email at info@wakeuplaughing, we can tell you more about it.
That's wonderful. Now, tell me more about your book. your book that you wrote with Mr. Was it Lipton?
Yes.
Bruce
Lipton. Hold on. Let me get, I will have to get Steve to talk about that.
Get Steve back, and we can talk about that.
Yeah. Yes. You know, it's interesting. Right after I met you in January of 2005, I met Bruce Lipton. Some friends introduced us, thought that we should meet, and we just became friends, and we started the conversation. Now, Bruce, as people may know, he wrote a really brilliant and breakthrough book called The Biology of Belief, and this is really about how our beliefs, our perceptions, our thoughts, our feelings, and our unconscious programming impacts our health, our well-being, our physicality, and then the outpicturing of our lives. And so I read that book, and I just loved it, and Bruce and I began a conversation. The conversation was, well, what if we took our whole society's beliefs? How do they impact our health, our well-being, and our lives? And the book that we wrote is called Spontaneous Evolution, Our Positive Future and a Way to Get There from Here. And as many people listening to the show have probably come to realize on their own, we are living by we meaning our civilization, our so-called civilization, is living by a set of obsolete beliefs. And some of these obsolete beliefs, like it's okay to kill one another in warfare, it's okay to exploit nature and other human beings, are not only obsolete, but they're deadly. So we've created a new word called obsoletal. These are obsoletal beliefs. And so Bruce and I talk about these obsolete beliefs, and then we talk about what we could be doing instead. And as a evolutionary biologist, Bruce understands that the next phase of human evolution, if the, you know, the way evolution has progressed, the next stage of human evolution is recognizing that we human beings are all cells in a larger organism called humanity. And the next evolutionary challenge for us is to begin to live as if that is true, as if we are all in this together, as if the world benefits by the thrival of everybody rather than just the domination of the very few over the many. And so that's what this book is talking about. I have a new platform that I'm developing called Evolutionary Upwising, as in waking up and wising up. And that will be helping people, creating a community of people online who are looking to weave a web of mass construction and promote good goods and great goodness. And probably a lot of people who are listening to this call fit into that category. So if you get on my mailing list at wakeuplaughing.com, I will keep you apprised of developments in all of these domains.
I see you have a book on being present, being a president. What is that book?
Oh, this is Swami's book called Swami for President.
Oh.
A seven-step plan to heal the body politic and cure erectile dysfunction because, you know, we have a lot of political dysfunction in this country primarily because the rule of gold has overruled the golden rule. And money is really the only seemingly arbiter of what happens in politics. So Swami says we don't need a new president, we need a new precedent. And that precedent is government of the people, by the people, for the people, where the government does our bidding and not the bidding of the highest bidder.
Well, that sounds like something I'm going to buy just as soon as we get off the show. I'm sitting in my office and looking at 500, 600, 700 books here, and I'm looking in there. Looks like there's two of them that generate laughter out of all of my books, and that's not how my life is. And I was just looking at my book collection in this room, and thinking, you know, I have more, and
hey,
I don't have enough comedy. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, we got somebody. You ready?
I'm ready, sweetie.
All right, Diane, you're on.
Hi.
Hi, Diane. Hi, sweetie.
This
How are you?
Diana. Well, I'm thoroughly enjoying the program, and I want to tell your guest, and I think you said his name was Steve.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think you're a prophet. In other words, you're pro instead of anti. And I really do get your sense of humor. I think your contribution is just as valuable as Bruce Lipton's, and God knows he's a very wealthy person. I've read and listened to him. But I've thoroughly enjoyed all your jokes, and I hope you could do this so other people see it, maybe TV or something else. But, gosh, you're good.
Well,
thank you so much.
That's very nice. Thank you. And I do. I travel all over the country, all over the world. We've been to Europe. We've been to Hawaii. Somebody wants to book me in Southeast Asia, Cambodia, in January.
I have several people who teach my material in China and Kuala Lumpur and Hong Kong and Singapore. That may not be such a far affirmation for you. Listen, people, it's really important. We've enjoyed Swami Vidyanandananda, and we've enjoyed talking to Steve. How do we support us? Well, you support us by buying our CD, our little book. You support us with energy. And at certain points in time, people have spent decades, like Swami, learning how to create laughter and being funny. You want to jump online to wakeuplaughing.com, and you want to make a purchase as a token of appreciation to the Swami. Now, Swami, talk to me about Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma.
Oh, Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma. Well, that is my philosophy. That is my philosophy. See, in the old days, we thought that we were driven by our karma. But now, as we are awakening, we see that we drive our own karma, that we have to be responsible for consequences. Because how many people out there have been rear-ended by their own karma? Oh, it's very painful. So part of it is to recognize that what we put out, in a certain regard, we get back. And as far as curbing your dogma, well, that's something else. Because if you look at the news, it's a dogma-eat-dogma world out there, I'm telling you. You know, a lot of vicious dogmas. And so part of this is how to actually be responsible for yourself, to not impose on other people your beliefs, but simply allow them to be. And be responsible for your own life. Now, I've got a wonderful CD called Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma that also has music on it. There's a song called Drive Your Karma, Curb Your Dogma. Called The Unexamined Life Is Not Worth Living.
That sounds wonderful. You know,
or long like that, and it goes on. And there's many good songs like May I Have This Abundance With You, Non-Judgment Day, that's very important, yes. And I channel many of the great departed ones. I channel Howard Cosell. I channel Jimmy Durante. Many
wow.
of these people. Yes. I channel Bullwinkle J. Moose.
Wow.
I channel Bullwinkle. That's right.
That sounds wonderful. And you know what? When I start my seminars, before I start my seminars, my students come up and they hug me too hard. What should I say to them?
Don't squeeze the shaman.
Thank you. And tell me about that CD.
Well, that is a live performance done years ago. And I won't tell you the punchline, but the last question that people asked the Swami, this happened live and you can hear it, the question was, Swami, why do men have nipples? And I cannot tell you the answer. It is on the CD. I don't want to spoil it for you.
That has been puzzling for me for 76 years, so I am looking forward to listening to that. See, CD, you can find Swami Beyondananda at wakeuplaughing.com, and you can hire Steve and Swami to participate in your events. Well, we're coming close to the end of the show right now, Swami, and what is the one, or Steve, what is the one last thing you want to tell the listening audience out there?
Well, I'll say it as Steve here. You know, I so appreciate your generosity of spirit in bringing me on the show and to really looking to connect your audience with people who have something of value to share, and also to connect me with your audience. And so I do appreciate that if people out there are looking to have a little bit more laughter in their lives and maybe finding ways that my workshop that I do, which you can, it's a self-paced tutorial. You can buy it and do it at your own pace. It's called Wake Up Laughing and Leave Laughter in Your Wake. So it's an instructional on how to bring more laughter into your life, how to laugh with love at whatever your situation presents itself, and then also how to build bridges with other people, how to bring more laughter into other people's lives. Because the fundamental prize in life is joy. As Swami would say, joy is the jackpot, and those who think the jack is a jackpot, they don't know jack about joy. So part of the way that we bring joy is we play. You know, if you look at children, they have no agenda. They're just playing. They're doing things for the sheer joy of it. And one of the things that we get tricked into believing as we get older, or when we leave our childhood, is that life is serious business. And if you look at the serious conditioning of the world, I think it's largely because of our conditioning to be serious. So have a look at the Wake Up Laughing site. When you go to Swami's store, you'll see that there's a whole that you can check on the Wake Up Laughing and Leave Laughter in Your Wake self-paced course. I'm also doing one with Trudy, and that one is on. It's called The Joy of Joy. It's called The Joy of Joy. And it's really about how to bring more joy into your loving relationships so that you have this bank account of joy that you can draw on when you need to.
Well, thank you, Swami. It's been a pleasure. People, remember to support me, too. And thank you.
Thanks, Star.
You're welcome.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.